ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട ഓം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദയ്ക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓർ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി ദിനാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ സോ ഇഫ് യു ടേക്ക് ടു പേജ് 3 ഇൻ ദ ബുക്ക് വിൽ സ്റ്റാർട്ട് വിത്ത് ദീസ് പ്രേയേഴ്സ് ദെൻ വിൽ ഗോ ടു page 3 so I'll recite the verses and then you can recite them after that om ajnanatimirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun milidam yena tasmai shri gurave namam shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapidam yena bhutale സ്വയം രൂപകദാമഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാം ശ്ച ഹേ നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ നമോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സരസ്വതി ഇതി നാമിനേ ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവീ ദേവീ ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദാം ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീ മൂർത്തയേ ദീനതാരിണേ രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാവ സിദ്ധാന്തധ്വാന്തഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പാദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപാനുഗവരായതേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയാഹം വൈഷ്ണവാ സാർവഭൗമശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമാം വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാവദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യ നാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വിഷേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാക്തികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധു
ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. ജയതം സുരതോ ഭംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമദീർഗതി മത്സർവസ്യ പദാംഭോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനോ. ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദൗ ശ്രീമദ്രത്നാകര സിംഹാസനസ്ഥോ ശ്രീമദ് രാധാശീല ഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭിഃ സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി. ശ്രീമന്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിതാം കർഷാൻ വേണുസ്വനേർ ഗോപീർ ഗോപിനാഥാശ്രിയേ സ്തുനാം. തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസ്തുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യം പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. സോ
വി ആർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ദി ഭക്തിസൂത്രം last Saturday, and the first chapter Parabhakti Swarupam, as it is titled in the Bhakti Sutram. Parabhakti Swarupam means the nature of the pure devotion. Parabhakti which comes after self-realization, that's the after the knowledge. So we were talking about this word, the Sutram 6, isn't it? യജ്ഞാത്വാ മത്തോ ഭവതി സ്തബ്ധോ ഭവതി ആത്മാരാമോ ഭവതി. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് യു ആർ ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട്. സോ ഇൻ ദി ഭക്തിസൂത്രം, വെൻ യു റീഡ് ത്രൂ യു വിൽ സീ സർട്ടൻ തിങ്സ് പ്യൂർലി ഇൻ റിലേഷൻഷിപ്പ് വിത്ത് ഭക്തി. ഭക്തി ഇൻ ദ ശ്രീമദ് ഭാഗവതം ഓൾസോ, ഇഫ് യു ലുക്ക് അറ്റ്, യു വിൽ സീ ദർ ഇറ്റ് സെയ്സ് യജ്ഞാത്വാ മത്തോ ഭവതി സ്തബ്ധോ ഭവതി ആത്മാരാമോ ഭവതി. Three things. First, Matho Bhavadi gets intoxicated with Bhakti. Then Stabdho Bhavadi, he gets stunned by Bhakti. And Almaharama Bhavadi, he becomes completely in the transcendently realized state, fully enjoyed in the absorption of the soul. When we discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, also, we are now discussing the Canto 11, isn't it? In the Canto 11, Krishna talks about, in the 12th chapter, what is known as satsangam, the importance of satsangam. He discusses in detail, in depth. Krishna talks about satsangam, which we have seen, isn't it? Satsangam. We have discussed satsangam in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam. Then immediately after that, Krishna talks about the pure knowledge side of it, which is Hamsa Gita. Hamsa Gita in chapter 13 is pure transcendental knowledge, which is a difficult chapter because of the very nature. Krishna has spoken the highest philosophical Upanishads conclusions in that chapter. Therefore, 13th chapter is very complex chapter. But Krishna says in the 12th chapter, through satsangam, Uddhava, one should go forward. And immediately that, after that, Krishna talked about the 13th chapter, Hamsa Gita. In the Bhagavatam, we have seen all that, isn't it? Straight after the 13th chapter, Krishna talks about, in the 14th chapter, the nature of pure bhakti, pure devotion. What is bhakti means? And Krishna has spent so many verses, the whole chapter is centered around bhakti. What is bhakti? Bhakti, as the most of the people, common people understand, is different than what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam or in the and as you can see here, Srinarada Maharshi also talks about a personality who has reached that state of bhakti. Bhakti is a very, very, very higher state. And all the sadhana,
all that we execute in spiritual life is just to purify our consciousness first. Because this bhakti won't manifest unless the consciousness is pure. That is the first condition. With the pure consciousness, one can come to the state where knowledge will manifest. When the knowledge is manifested, that person will develop a devotion, and that is parabhakti. That is the parabhakti state. So there is a lot to discuss about that, because just as I said before, that the bhakti in the Srimad Bhagavatam is mixed with knowledge. It's not separated from the knowledge. A person who has reached that state of bhakti, he also has the knowledge. That's why in Bhagavatam Ekadasham you will find knowledge and bhakti is going together. It's not separated out from knowledge. Knowledge goes with bhakti. And as far as Krishna is concerned, that a person who has reached that state of purity inside, he will have the knowledge and he will have the bhakti as well. There will be simultaneously, both will be present there in that person. It is not that one is superior to the other. They go together with the person. Then a devotee can at any point say that, I don't need all this knowledge. Knowledge, Krishna, at some point or the other, Krishna will force a devotee to understand these things. And same thing, a proper person, knowledge is not purely intellectual. It's all realizations, complete realizations. And that realizations, when it comes, bhakti naturally comes to that person. Bhakti naturally comes to that person. We're going to discuss that 14th chapter in depth later. When we talked about Dhyana Yogam is over, and we'll go back to that verses again in the 14th chapter, and we'll go through each verse very in depth as much as possible, because that particularly 14th chapter will convince us that bhakti is not an ordinary state of consciousness, ordinary state of mind. It's a very, very superior state. And that is why when you read Narada Bhakti Sutram, you'll find there, like Krishna, Narada Maharshi says here, yajnyatva mato bhavati, that we are supposed to get intoxicated after this bhakti comes. That's the kind of bhakti Krishna, Narada Maharshi is talking about. Stabdho bhavati, almaramo bhavati. So these things, matta means one who is intoxicated. In the Sanskrit, there's a word matta bringam. Matta bringam means the bee, honey bee. And it gets intoxicated after it drinks a lot of this honey, or whatever, that it drinks from the flowers, it gets drunk, and then it goes around, buzzing everywhere. So, the same thing, a devotee also, he says here, this compared to him, because one who is intoxicated, he is in a happy state, isn't it? But this intoxication from bhakti is a little different than the intoxication from other things. But that is a physical intoxication. Here, what happens is that this unalloyed devotion, unalloyed bhakti, when it develops in the heart of a devotee, he realizes that everything that exists in this world is Krishna. Everywhere there is a connection with Krishna. It's only who Krishna alone exists in this world. Everything else is the different names, different forms, what we find in this world is nothing but before when we have identified with the body. With our identification with the body, we see, because we identify with our own body, we identify others also with their body. When we identify with our soul, when we have come to realize our own self, then we will be able to see the other living entities also purely on the spiritual platform. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. That's why it is important. So, other thing is, in several of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will notice that he was in an intoxicated state in many instances, isn't it? That so many pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita you can read there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was not conscious what was happening. And that is the state of bhakti, what Narada Bhakti Sutram is talking about. That he was himself not aware what was going on. And many, often others who were with Mahaprabhu, they had to bring him back from the state and to bring him back into the normal state of consciousness in this world, to come down to that state. So, similar story, similar intoxicated state is what the sages have experienced through Upanishads also. They also had to reach that state. So, they are beyond any of our calculations. They are beyond the three modes of material nature as well. And they are above the rules and regulations of this world. Rules and relations of this world. So bahya logam, it says loga bahya. Loga bahya means they don't belong to this world after that. They're gone beyond this world. Their existence is beyond this world. So the shastras even cannot control them. They are not even subjected to shastram. But because they have come through the shastram to that stage, then they have gone beyond the regulations of the shastram. Shastram tells a lot of rules and regulations also. But because they have gone beyond the rules and regulations, but since they have come through the shastram, they will not do anything which is not approved by the shastram. They won't do anything which is not approved by the shastram. Shaujam achamanam snanam nadu chodanaya charel anyamshanayaman yani yadaham lila yeshwaraha. In the 11th canto, you will see in the 18th chapter, when when talking about a yani or a devotee, both yanis and devotees, both it applies, that shaujam achamanam snanam nadu chodanaya charet. It says here, we all have to take bath in the morning. We have to keep ourselves clean physically and mentally. And then we perform various duties which are known as nityakarma. Nityakarma means getting up early in the morning and purifying ourselves, various things, purifying the body, chanting the Hare Krishna for purifying the mind. In this way, we have certain regulated rules and regulations we have to follow. But jnani and a devotee who has reached that stage, they have no obligations anymore. They have gone beyond than that. Rules and regulations are not binding them anymore. So, but still they may do it, not that because it's rules and regulations, but due to their consciousness. Due to their consciousness. Completely free they are. That's why it says here, anyamsha nayaman jnani yadaham lila yeshwara. Bhagavadam says like this, shaujama chamanam snanam nadu chodanaya chare. It is not due to chodana. Chodana means not due to their own desire that they do it. They don't do it out of desires, that anything from the, by rules and regulations, but anyamsha neman yani yadaham lila yeshwara. That just like Krishna performs his pastimes in this world, how? Out of his sweet will, isn't it? He performs pastimes out of his sweet will. Nobody has any rules and regulations there. Krishna has no rules and regulations binding him. Similarly, for a jnani or a devotee in that state, he has no rules and regulations binding him. So, sometimes it may appear that the approved norms of this world may not be followed. Just like when somebody gets intoxicated with love for Krishna, he will dance, he will sing, he will cry, he will do various things in the intoxication of love for Krishna. And those who cannot understand that, they will not realize in the state of consciousness of that personality, they will consider, think that he's gone crazy. So a devotee ultimately ends up like that when we gets to that stage, that he will be a crazy state. It's no surprise at all, because throughout Bhagavadam, that's the only thing Bhagavadam has to tell us, that how to reach that crazy state of mind. That no more attraction to material world, no more attraction to the body. Whatever Krishna does with us, that is absolutely no question at all. There is no protest anymore. Don't desiring anymore. Whatever Krishna does with the body, does with the mind, it is perfect. That is the devotee surrender at that point. So, budho bhalagavad kreden kushalo jadavad charel vade unmattavad vidvan gocharyam naigamas charel. Again he says here, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, this verse comes, budho bhalagavad kreden, just like a child, a jnani will play in this world. When the children, when they play, they have no identification with it, isn't it? They just play and they forget it. As soon as it's over, they've forgotten. Children are like that. Similarly, jnanis also, budho bhalagavad krede, just like children, they will play in this world. Kushalo jadavat charel, when they wander around in this world, like a dead matter. Nobody, there is no a fixed path laid out for them. They will move around completely independent, totally free. and like an ignorant person, you'll move around in this world. Vaded unmatavad vidwan, but he will speak and act in this world as though he is under the influence of an intoxication state. Vade unmatavad vidwan, gocharyam naigamascharyam. So, even though he knows the rules and regulations of the Shastram, they will move in this world as though they have no control, like animals probably. They will live around in this world. A lot of examples are there like this if you go back into the life history of so many great devotees and jnanis, you will find that that is how they conducted their business in this world. It's no more that they are doing it. It is because they have left the body. And because they are on the platform of the soul, all these restrictions in this world is so long as you are on the bodily platform. Otherwise, these rules and regulations have no meaning. Society has created this because we have to function, keep some sanity in this world. So therefore, the society puts up all kinds of restrictions on us, isn't it? Whether we like it or not, we have to follow them here. So that there is some peace within the society. Like, with society means there is practically, there is no meaning for this word society. Society is nothing but so many false egos together. One false ego is telling another false ego, you don't step into my territory, I don't step into yours, we keep peace within each other. That's the society actually. There's nothing more than that in the society. So, because it's like that, it says here that this ananda unmadam, that means this bliss they are experiencing and the craziness that is coming from them, it is these pure devotees or pure jnanis, great devotees and jnanis, that is who keep this consciousness of this world in a safe state. Because of their presence, they influence others and they also benefited by their association. It said here, yat jatva matto bhavadi, stabdho bhavadi, almarama bhavadi. Three things he said there. So first thing is this matto bhavadi. Matto bhavadi means gets fully intoxicated. Then the next thing what happens is stabdho bhavadi. Stabdho bhavadi means he is stunned. He is completely in a state, he is stunned. So, an example in the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see, when Uddhava went to see gopis in Vrindavanam, then Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi received Uddhava. Uddhava was sent from Mathura. Krishna sent Mathura to, from Mathura to Vrindavanam. Uddhava came to visit the gopis. So, when they came to see Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, Uddhava arrived late in the evening. So, gopis were not aware of Uddhava's arrival straight away. They have finished their daily activities and they were at home doing their various household work. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi has been waiting, and when they saw the chariot, first they thought Krishna has come. But when they realized Krishna hasn't come, a similar personality who looks very similar to Krishna has arrived, Uddhava. So at that point, Nanda Maharaj was a little bit upset, but still that he has come with a message from Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj received Uddhava, and Yashoda Devi also received Uddhava, and they took Uddhava inside and they had a conversation. It is one of the famous chapters in the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, 47th chapter, that Uddhava's visit to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. That evening, this whole night they were talking about Krishna. Whole night they were talking about Krishna. And the early hours in the morning, Uddhava says to Nanda Maharaj, it's bright now, it's become bright, and he had to bathe. And he goes to the river to bathe. So it was after that, when they were coming back, the gopis have by now got up in the morning, they have started their household work again, and they noticed this chariot standing there. So immediately, gopis' mind went in a funny state. They say, Asakura has come back again to take us away. They saw Akrura as their greatest problem, because Akrura has come and taken him away before. Akrura agada kimva? They are talking to each other. Akrura has come again to take us away. That their fear was just like Krishna has been taken away. They will also be taken away in the same way and left somewhere. So all that fear in the gopis were talking to each other. So at that point, the relationship, the discussions between Uddhava and gopis, if you see there, Uddhava met gopis, and later there was what is known as Brahmaragidam. Radharani was present there. Radharani's separation from Krishna was so affected by the separation that Radharani did not even want to speak to Uddhava first. Even didn't want to speak to Uddhava first. All that is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you can read that. But important thing here is to know that when Krishna came back, sorry, when Uddhava came back from after bathing in the river, he saw the gopis and gopis started talking to Uddhava. They found out that Uddhava has come, and Uddhava has come to bring a message from Krishna to gopis and to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. But they had more or less given up on Krishna, but at the same time inside the heart was very much attached to Krishna. They say there, Smaradam Krishna Viryani Leela Apangani Ikshidam Hasidam Bashidam Changa Sarvana Shithila Kriyaha. He says here that they say to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is like this, Smaradam Krishna Viryani Leela Apangani Ikshidam. That when we think about Krishna and his activities here, all his pastimes, Hasidam Bhashidam Janga Sarva Anashidhila Kriyaha. Whenever Krishna smiled and whenever he spoke, we were completely broken down. We broke down completely. Sarva Anashidhila Kriya. We had no more strength to communicate with him because we stopped all our activities. We couldn't do anything anymore. As soon as we saw Krishna smiling and as soon as we heard him speak, then we were stunned. We couldn't do anything. We were stunned at that point. We stopped doing anything. That was the state of bhakti gopis were at. Gopis were at. That's why in the Bhagavatam you will see all the devotees whom Vedavyasa Maharshi Sukadeva Goswami has presented there, their state of consciousness was completely different. They were not ordinary level of bhaktas. They were not ordinary devotees. They were reached that state. For them, rules and regulations are not important anymore. They are all finished for them. They are in that pure state of consciousness, Krishna consciousness, that all they know is only Krishna, nothing else. And when Krishna says here, Asidam Bhashidam Janga Sarvana Shithila Kriyaha, that as soon as they have Krishna smiles, as soon as Krishna starts speaking, Sarvana Shithila Kriya, they couldn't do any work anymore. They were in a stunned state. They were experiencing that pure, blissful nature of the Chit Shakti inside. That is there in everyone. The Chit Shakti gets activated when Krishna comes into contact with that. When the Chit Shakti is activated, then we can't say anything. Chit Shakti is so powerful that we lose our bodily identity straight away. And we only know that Krishna is there everywhere, in everything. And it is a very difficult thing to explain, but in the Bhagavatam, we will discuss this when we talk about the 10th canto in July. But Krishna's point is in many instances, you see in the Bhagavatam, there is stories, katha is there, there is stuti is there, isn't it? Glorifications are there. And then there is upadesham also later. Upadesham means instructions, like Krishna instructing Uddhava. So instructions are there, glorifications are there from the devotees, and also the story is there, katha is there. All three are linked together. All three are linked together in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita doesn't have stories. Only what is there is either instructions. Mostly it is instructions, isn't it? Like Krishna instructs Arjuna. Upanishads also, the sages are instructing the devotee, disciples. So, whereas in the Bhagavatam, katha is there, glorification is there, and upadesham instructions are there. All three are blend together. That's the difference between, you may ask the question, why do we need Bhagavatam when we have got Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita? It's the same knowledge in the Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita that has come through Bhagavatam also. But for some other reasons, Bhagavatam has brought katha or stories also to bring that message to us. We'll discuss that later. So, Smaranam Krishna Viryani Lila Panganiri Kshidam Hasidam Bhashidam Changa Sarvana Shithila Kriyaha. So that is one instance of Stabdho Bhavadi. When you get stunned by Krishna's association, you get stunned by the association. Then, what else he says? Alma Ramo Bhavadi, after that, isn't it? First he says, Matto Bhavadi, that means he gets intoxicated. Then he gets Stabdho Bhavadi, he gets stunned, and then he gets Atmarama Bhavadi, in that Atmarama state. That is the state of the realized state. The example in the Bhagavatam is Rahugana and Bharatamuni, Bharatamaharshi, Jatabharata. So Jatabharata and Rahugana was being carried in the palanquin. The people who were carrying the palanquin, they wanted an assistant, a fourth person. For some reason, that particular day, they didn't have the fourth person. Rahugana was going to see Kapila Maharshi in the Kapilashrama. So, while they were carrying the palanquin, they found Jatabharata sitting there. Called him, come here, they said to him. He went straight away, because for him, it doesn't matter. Oh, there is no ego inside, you see, completely free from all false ego. When he came, so the palanquin has got four corners, isn't it? Four corners, there is this wood extensions where the people put it on their shoulder, and four of them were walked together. They are to keep the same pace so that the person who is in the palanquin doesn't get disturbed. We won't see, nobody sees palanquin these days, isn't it? Nowadays it's Rolls Royce and other things. So, but in them days, this was the kings traveled in the palanquin, the queens, they also had palanquins. So when they got the fourth person, the fourth corner was given to Jatabharata. So Jatabharata is carrying that, and they started walking. If all the four people don't walk same pace and the same step, it will cause problems, because otherwise palanquin will get disturbed, the traveling person in the palanquin. So Jatabharata was not bothered. It was put on him. They told him, let's go. Yes, he also said, let's go. He was not bothered. He was keeping the pace with others or anything like that. So Rahugana in the palanquin was getting disturbed, and he opened the palanquin has got a cover and all that. He opened a cover and looked, and he started asking the other three what's happening. So the three people said, we are doing our best, but this fourth person who has joined is not following the rules properly. So therefore this problem, he said. Rahugana started threatening him, abused him first, and asked him, do you know who I am? And all kinds of things. Jatabharata won't reply first. He won't even answer. Then he started saying to him, then if you are crazy, I'll do the treatment for you. I'll apply the proper treatment. Rahugana is talking to Jatabharata this thing. You see how much a realized soul has to put up with in this world. Is there any wonder that self-realization is basically fighting against this very world, what you are living? This is our greatest problem, this world itself. Here, nobody wants self-realization. What they want is their egos to work through. Nothing else. So Jatabharata has to go through this. Rahugana yells at him and even threatened him that he will be administered properly with a proper treatment and all that. At that time, then Jatabharata thought, should I talk to this person? You see how jnanis think about that. They think before they talk. Normally he doesn't talk to anybody because they are jnanis. Nothing they will understand. At home he had his brothers. He will not even discuss with them anything about spiritual life. They thought that Jatabharata is a crazy case. Nothing can be done. But in Rahugana's case, he thought, should I talk to him? This thought came to his mind. Then he said, Rahugana is a king who has studied well. Shastram he has studied well. But there is no realization. This was Rahugana's problem. No realization inside. Studied Shastram well. He also knew that he has to have a spiritual master who can give him the correct direction. So he was going to the best of the spiritual masters, Kapila Maharshi. Kapilashramam he was going to. So you can see he has got everything, but what was missing in him was there's no realization. And Jatabharata, by talking to him, understood that the main problem what he has got is this bodily concept of life. I am this body. He has not come out of it yet. Shastram you can study, whole life you can study Shastram, but if you have not come out of the bodily concept of life, what good is it at the end? So bodily concept of life was the main problem. So he decided that he spoke to him few verses in there. In the Bhagavatam you will see Bharata Rahugana Samvadam. It is titled like that. very important verses in the Bhagavatam, because there are several examples given there, and Rahugana is talking, Bharata Maharshi is talking to Rahugana. Janabrata is saying to Rahugana, Rahugana, Rahugana tapasanaya adi na chejaya nirvapanal grihadva na chandasa naiva jala agni suryur vina mahal padarajo abhishekam. He says there that Rahugana, it is like this, Rahugana tapasa naiva yadi. You can perform austerities and penances throughout life. You can perform. Na chejaya nirvapanal grihadvam. That you can perform all kinds of austerities and penances, sacrifices, yagam. Na ijya means yagam. Nirvapanal grihadvam. And na chandasa. Not by studying all the Vedas and chanting the Vedic hymns. Naiva jala agni suryor. You can stand in the water, and there is a method of worshipping the Supreme Lord standing in the water. Similarly, there is a method of worshipping Krishna with fire around. Jalam agni. And similarly focused on Surya, sun. Naiva jala agni suryor vina mahal pada rajobhishekam. All these things you can do, but still you may not realize the self. Unless you get the mercy of a Mahalpada Rajobhishekam, unless you take the dust from a great devotee or a jnani and apply that on your own forehead, on your head. Basically, what this is a literary way of speaking, Mahalpada Rajobhishekam means unless you have the mercy of a great soul, Mahatma, it is not going to happen. That realization won't happen. By saying this, our Jadabharata wanted to say to Rahugana, Rahugana, you have, so long as you have this bodily concept, identity, you are not going to get anywhere in your spiritual life. As soon as Jadabharata spoke this word, Rahugana heard this. You can see Shastram has helped him. At that point, he realized that this is not an ordinary person who is talking like this. When he looked at him, he was wearing very dirty clothes, completely dirty. That was his clothes. Jadabharata's clothes was mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Very, very dirty. Who is washing his clothes? Who is going to wash his clothes? And he also had no other bodily maintenance. That means the whole beard has grown, the head has grown, and no proper maintenance. Bodily maintenance doesn't exist for him because he has gone beyond the body. Who bothers for the body? Waiting for the body to drop. That's the state he was in. And he says here, then that when, but only one thread was there, the Brahmin thread was there in his body. So when he looked at his face, because Rahugana had a lot of understanding of these things, immediately he realized this is not an ordinary person that I have could come here, and his mind started working in a different way. He started thinking, who is he? Who can this be? And he stopped the palanquin, got down from the palanquin, and paid his obeisances to him first. Because just by a few words, that was sufficient. Jnani's words are so powerful. If it gets from the right source, it will have its immediate effect. Immediate effect. And that's why, in the verses he says, Unmatta matta jadaval susamstham gadasya me veera chigil sidena Arthakiyan bhavada shichidena stabdha pramasyaja pishtavesha. One of the verses in that Bharata Rahugana Samvadam in discussion is like this. Unmatta matta jadaval susamstham. He says to Rahugana, Rahugana, you are thinking about me. I am a crazy person, isn't it? Or I am a dead person, jadam. Jadam means who is dull, dull-headed kind of person. You are thinking about me like that, isn't it? Gadasya me veera chigilsidena. So, but problem is that what you are seeing at me as this body, and based on that you are analyzing me. But I am not this body. I am situated somewhere else. So separated he was from the body. That's what he says here. Gadasya me so samstham. So samstham means I am situated in the platform of the soul. Platform of the soul. It's just not words he's talking. He's just talking in that state of consciousness and the spirit soul. He's coming from that. So samstham he is talking. And gadasya me veera chigil sidena. You are going to treat me. What treatment are you going to give it to me? for the body? Is that the question from Bharata Maharshi, Jada Bharata too, Yahugana? Are you going to treat my body? You said you are going to punish me, you are going to chastise me, you are going to apply some punishment on my body. Gadasya me vira chigil sidena. What is the point in treating this body when I'm not there in the body anymore? I'm separately, completely different from there. And not only that, I am stunned completely and I'm completely intoxicated with the self-realized state. I'm in that state. And at that time, what's the point in treating me? What's the point in treating me? The word used is Pishtaveshanam. Pishtaveshanam means something what is already finely ground, very fine powder, you have ground something. And again smashing it down to grind it further has no meaning. It's already ground, very fine it has become, very finely ground. Say flour, you have ground it, very fine flour. And again you don't have to keep on pounding that because it's already ground. Similarly, our Jadabrata is saying that this body I have left long ago. I finished with this body. It's not there for me anymore. And you are going to apply, start treating that body, thinking that it will come into its proper shape. It will start listening to you, what you are saying. Because I left that body long ago. He says here, Arthakiyan bhavada shichidena stabda pramastasya pishtapesham. So, one who is Alvarama, one who is absorbed in the soul, he has nothing to do with the body. He is moved away from the platform of the body. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says exactly the same thing, isn't it? Tasya karyam na vidyate. Isn't it? There is a verse there in the third chapter. Krishna says, Tasya karyam na vidyate. If you look in, he says there that these verses are important because when we talking about self-realization and spiritual advancement, these are the things that must stay in our head. Not think, oh, I will be in Golokam after some time or I will be in Vaikuntham after that. That may or may not happen. That is afterward. But right now here, in this world, if spiritual advancement is happening to a person, Krishna says, yes, talpmaridirevasyal almatruptaschama neva almanyev almanatushta tasya karyam na vidyade. Krishna is very clear about that. One who is enjoying in his spiritual identity, spiritual realized state. He has become the soul. He is no more expecting any kind of pleasures or happiness from this body. Atmadruptascha means being in that state is totally satisfied. For us, two ways there is satisfaction. One, the mind goes out through the senses to the world and looking for satisfaction in the world. That is one way. Never-ending desires and fulfilling the desires and trying to get some satisfaction from that. When the mind stops going outside, stay inward. Mind is living inside looking, inward looking. At some point when realization happens, that is the state, Atmatruptascha Manava. He is situated in the platform of the soul, then he is not looking for anything from outside to satisfy him. Atmanyeva Atmanatushta Santushta Atmanyeva Santushta Tasya Karyam Na Vidyate. Because the soul is offering everything what he needs, in the sense that total satisfaction is there in the state of realized state. That's why one who is, however, taking pleasure in the self, who is illumined in the self, who rejoices in and is satisfied with the self only, fully satiated, for him, tasya karyam na vidyate. There is nothing to achieve after that. Tasya karyam na vidyate. There is no duty after that. 317. So, yes, atmaridrevasya, manava, atmanyev atmanatushta, tasya karyam na vidyate. And that is the state of Jadabharata. That's the state of Jadabharata. Jadabharata is in that state. So he's just saying what Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, that you want to administer some treatment for me. For what? I'm already in that state. He knows what state he is in because he can't identify with this body anymore. He can't do it even if he wants to. This is the beauty of that. Even if he wants to identify with his body, he can't do it. He has left this body already, but waiting for prarabdham to finish and the body to drop. That is the state of realization he's talking about. Tasya karyam na vidyate. And as such, but we don't know these things. When we see him, we will still see the body. Isn't it? When you see Jadabharata, what we suppose Jadabharata comes, what will he see? We will see Jadabharata's body. We don't know what state of consciousness he is in. So, in others' eyes, like in the case of Rahugana, what he was seeing was Jadabharata's body and his movements in this world. And this is not one instance in the Bhagavatam. In so many instances, it's the same story, what happens to them. Realization comes, self-realization happens. Once they move onto the platform of the soul, then there is no more body, cannot touch them anymore. If you remember, in the first canto, you will see there, when Srinarada Maharshi went to the forest, isn't it? After mother died, you know that story in the fifth chapter, what happened? Narada, Vyasa Narada Samvadam. That is between Vedavyasa Maharshi and Srinarada Maharshi, that discussion. In that discussion, Srinarada Maharshi was asked about his life. Srinarada Maharshi spoke about his early life. Generally, sages don't talk about themselves. That is the tradition. They will never talk about themselves. Because only those who have no realization, they will talk about themselves. That is the tradition in the spiritual life. It's always like that. There is a reason behind it. When you realize, if you are realized that you are the soul, you are not this body. Body is one of the 8.4 million bodies what you have got through in so many lifetimes. What is there to talk about it? The fact that if you are talking about yourself is showing that you are still on the very much on the bodily platform. I mentioned on the bodily platform. It's a proof of that. There is reasons behind all these things. It's not that without any reason these things are followed. You won't see much spoken about Vedavyasa Maharshi, very difficult to find some information about him. Very little information, because the tradition is like that, they don't talk about themselves. Vedavyasa did not speak about themselves. So Vedavya Goswami, more difficult than anybody to find out. There is so many different things spoken, no clear information. They could also have spoken about themselves a lot, isn't it? But they never did. Srinarada Maharshi also, very little information has given to us about Narada Maharshi. That too, when he was queried by Vedavyas, he had to say a few words. And that's what you find in the Bhagavatam in the fifth chapter. Vedavyasa Maharshi Narada Samvadam. So, at that point, Narada Maharshi says, I was living with my mother was a servant maid, and we lived in some of the rich Brahmana's house, and for Chadurmasyam, during the 4 months, some sages, saintly personalities came there, and I was deputed to do some service for them. Because it was natural in those days, wealthy people houses, the people who are doing service there, they have to do all kinds of things what they were told. So Narada was given this duty, and he said that while engaged in their service, I was not interested in other things. I was very interested in their activities, how the sages conducted themselves. So every day they were very pleased with Narada Maharshi's service. He was not Narada Muni at that time. He was a Shudra boy in his previous life. And there what happened was the sages engaged him in their service. And for his purpose, after the whole day's discussion, their spiritual activities were over, they used to sit together and talk about Krishna. And just for child's pleasure, Narada Maharshi's pleasure, they used to discuss Krishna's pastimes. Narada Maharshi heard all that, got attracted to the pastimes, and then one day Chaturmasyam was over and the sages left. When they left, that Srinarada Maharshi was in a dilemma, not knowing what to do now. They have gone and they heard all this about Krishna. And Narada Maharshi was a young boy, 5 or 6 years old, and he was thinking that where will I hear again about these beautiful stories what I heard. And in this way Narada Maharshi's mainly because the purity inside. That is when this desire comes. when the purity is inside, naturally you will get attracted to Krishna consciousness and Bhagavatam. Sometimes people say, I'm very pure, but I don't know, I have no attraction for Bhagavatam. They will say like that. Have you seen? People sometimes talk like that. They will say, I don't have to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm very pure. I've not done any harm. I've not done anything wrong inside. But Shastram is not very blind on all these things. Shastram tells you very clearly. They are saying, if you are pure, the proof of that is you will have an intense attraction for self-realization and spiritual life. That is the proof of your purity. These people who talk like this, I am pure, I am this, I am that, but they won't read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, no attraction for Satsangam, no attraction for Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. They are not pure. They are just saying like that. They think they are doing the right thing. Many people have this kind of, they say like this. But the reality is this, that if somebody is pure, like the Shastram says, the proof of that is that person will have intense desire for self-realization and also for participating in satsangam, and purification will demand that from inside. This is the proof of that. So those, when they say that they have no attraction for Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, but they are pure, they are not pure. That is the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Shastram is saying like that, that if it is there, attraction for self-realization, either it will come in the form of inquiry of the soul, or it will come in the form of intense devotion. To hear about Krishna will be so intense in their heart. So these are the conditions. Anyway, coming to that, we're talking about that the state in which they are. So Almaramas, so Sri Narada Maharshi is going back to that story. Narada Maharshi immediately, just because he heard from these sages, because he heard from the right source, it purified him. Child, 5 years old. And that's why immediately this came to him, that I have to find that person where he is. A devotee is looking for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jnani is looking for the soul. There's practically no difference. They're one and the same. In the Jnani's language, it is self-realization. In devotee's language, it is realizing the Bhagavan, Krishna. Realizing Krishna. But both are in the same track. They are going into different routes, that's all. But they are in the same path for self-realization. So what happened? Narsinara Maharshi go to the forest and he sat down. And he was drinking water from the river, and whatever fruits were available, he ate that in the forest. And whole forest frightened him, 5-year-old boy. But prior to that, Sri Narada Maharshi mentions in the Bhagavadam that when the sages left, Narada Maharshi was thinking, how would I find Krishna now, after hearing about Krishna? And by Krishna's grace, one evening, mother went to milk the cow, the snake has bitten the mother, and mother died. Narada Maharshi says there, that my last connection with this world was cut off. He says, I was so fortunate. He says, my last connection with this world was broken. He says, it was only the mother through whom he had some relationship with this world. But after this, even that was broken. So that's when he starts his journey towards the north. He goes into the forest, and there, what happens? He sat there, and Krishna was kind to Narada Maharshi. That as soon as a person gets purified, immediately Krishna takes over. Then Krishna does everything what is necessary. What is necessary? Everything Krishna does. So Krishna goes to see him. Isn't it? In the Bhagavatam you will see that verse where he says there, that he goes to see him. And after, in meditation for some time, Krishna appears. He was closed his eyes and he was meditating on Krishna's form, what he heard from the sages. So that form manifested inside first. Inside the form manifested. And Narada Maharshi in deep meditation was relishing that form of Krishna, what he has manifested inside. And as soon as it has manifested, for some time Krishna withdrew that form from inside. And Narada Maharshi lost that vision inside. And he opened his eyes. When you open his eyes, the same form which was inside manifested outside.
Krishna was standing right in front. At that time he says, Prema adhivara nirbhinna pulagonga adinarubhradaha ananda samplavoline na pasya ubhayam mune. Bhagavadam, if you study these verses, you will understand what a self-realization means. Without understanding self-realization, simply keep on doing sadhana. It is necessary. Sadhana is necessary to purify inside. But Shastram also teaches why we are doing all these things. What for are we doing this sadhana? Not knowing the goal, simply keep on doing things is not a wise thing, isn't it? So Narada Maharshi's realization is Premadibharanarbhinna Pulagango Dinarubradaha. Because Krishna has manifested inside, for a short period of time, Krishna gave him what a self-realized state means, an experience of that. Krishna does that sometimes with devotees. He gives them for a short time and let him taste it and see what it's like when somebody has a self-realized. He does that with Vasudeva also. I mentioned that before. In the prison, Krishna gave Vasudeva self-realized state, and that's where Vasudeva's prayers came out. Similarly here, for a short period of time, he gave Narada Maharshi that self-realized experience of the soul. What is self-realized state? So he says here, Pulagango dina rubradaha. His body was, all the hairs were standing, and an experience which he can never forget. Ananda samplavo lino na pasya ubhayam mune. He says, Ananda samplavam. Ananda samplavam means completely swimming in the nectar of bliss. In the nectar of bliss. He was swimming in that nectar. Ananda samplavo lino. And what else was happening? Na pasya ubhayam mune. That duality has gone from him. You see, duality has gone from them. What is duality means? Duality means that everything in this world we are seeing in two, isn't it? There is a two in everything, in our dealings in this world. You love somebody, you hate somebody. And you glorify somebody, you insult somebody. And somebody is black, somebody is white. Somebody is a boy, somebody is a girl. Man, woman, dark, day, night. Like this, everything, there is duality in this world. Duality is the nature of this world. That is what is called dvaitam. Dvaitam is that, this duality of this world. And it is because of the duality only, we are registering everyone as individuals separately. Because everyone we see is different bodies, because of the duality inside. So that duality only goes when self-realization happened. Only then you... So immediately after this, Ananda Samplavo Lino Na Pasya Ubhayam Mune, he says. Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, Vedavyas, it's like this. When that happened to me, Na Pasya Ubhayam Mune, I could not see two things in this world. There's only one thing that exists, that is Krishna. Only Krishna exists in this world. I know it's a very difficult concept to accept it, isn't it? How can you accept that only Krishna exists in this world? In the Bhagavatam, somehow or the other, Krishna is struggling very hard to get us to accept this. I'll tell you why. After talking to Uddhava, whole Uddhava Upadesham, which is one of the topmost philosophical discussions in the Vedic literature, Uddhava says to Krishna, it is very difficult to accept everything as your manifestation. At that point, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, if it's not working, I'll tell you a solution. Whomever you see in this world, think that it is Krishna and pay your obeisance straight away to him. Doesn't matter whether it's a dog or a cat or a mad person or anyone, doesn't matter. He may be, in your mundane eyes, he may not be qualified, but don't see his form outside. Just pay your obeisance to him. This is his instruction. Praname dandavad bhumam ashwa chandala ghogaram, he says. Even when you see a dog, you pay your obeisance to the dog. If we pay obeisance to the dog, what will people will say to us? They'll say, what has happened to this person, poor fellow? He has spent so many years in that Hare Krishna temple, and this is what has happened to him at the end. That's what they will say, would they not? Our own parents will be careful. They'll go to the psychiatrist to get him for the treatment. They will say, something has gone wrong. Something here has gone out of control. But that is the reality. What to do? So there Krishna is saying there, praname dandavat Uddhava, if you want to come, if you can't do any of these things, what if you're not able to realize what Krishna has spoken? Because realization through knowledge, without this knowledge, without this bhakti, it is not going to happen. Self-realization is not going to happen. We can battle the whole life with everybody, but nothing will come out at the end. It's all a game which is going to lose. So that's why Krishna says there, praname dandavat, as soon as you see someone, let that be your enemy. He may not look at you. He may completely ignore you. Or he may even go against you in some ways. Doesn't matter. He says, praname dandavat. Completely fall down and pay your obeisances. Now, practically, it is sometimes difficult. Isn't it? It's sometimes difficult. Because ragadvesham is inside us, all of us. We know in this world whom we like, whom we don't like. It's already there inside, and that is very deep inside also. No matter how much Krishna says, if that person appears in front of us, immediately our nature will change. We'll deal with him in a completely different way. So, therefore, it says here, praname dandavat bhumam ashva chandala ghokharam. He says here, that if you can't do that, at least inside the mind, think that it is Krishna who has come in front of, in that form. If you think like that, what will happen is, Krishna says, slowly, in due course of time, that thing will disappear from inside. The hate will disappear. Ragadvesham will go from inside. Ragadvesham will go from inside. So there is no shortcut to this. This is the only way, Krishna says, it can happen. After all, so, nāpashyam ubhayam mune. What ananda samplavolino nāpashyam ubhayam mune. That duality creates all these things, isn't it? When there is ragam, there is dvesham. If there is no ragam, there will be no dvesham either. Ragadvesham, you know what I mean. It is the attachment. Like, I like somebody, I don't like somebody, I hate someone. That is duality, dvesham. I hate somebody. Actually, all this loving, hating business is all meaningless, isn't it? Somebody has come to this world, we have come to this world, we'll be gone, they'll be gone. Whom are we hating and whom are we loving? There is no meaning to any of these things. It is because of our impurities inside. Ragadvesham inside has happened from that. Attachment and aversion. Attachment and aversion. Krishna talks about that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Ragadvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. He says, as long as you have senses and sense enjoyment, it will create this ragadvesham inside. It's not possible to walk out of that. That's why we reject senses, reject the mind, reject the intelligence. All this is of no use in spiritual advancement, in spiritual realization, in self-realization. So, having said that, Narada Maharshi said this to him, Ananda Samplavo Lino Nabashyam Ubhayam Mune. And when you get rid of all the ragadvesham inside towards others, you will know what spiritual happiness means. You will know what spiritual happiness means. Till then, it's not going to happen. So, that is why he says here that such a personality who is in that state of self-realization, that Narada Maharshi says here, I did not see myself, nor I saw Krishna. We didn't see separately, because in that state of realization, that cannot be explained. Krishna was standing there in front, but Narada Muni did not see him separately from Krishna. He says it's the same Krishna is present here as well as within him. And so seeing that Krishna's presence that way, Narada Muni says, Ananda Samplavolino Napashyam Ubhayam Mune. My dear Vedavyas, Napashyam Ubhayam Mune. Ubhayam means the duality did not exist for me anymore at that point. He says like that. So, Matto Bhavadi, Stabdho Bhavadi, Atma Ramo Bhavadi. All this happens in the self-realized state. All these things happen in the self-realized state. After saying that, we go into the next sutra. Seventh one. So it says here that Sa na kamayamana nirodha rupatval. That is what he says here. So Sa na kamayamana nirodha rupatvad. What does that mean? Sa na kamayamana. In the second sutram, if you look into the second sutram, you will see there then the Swatvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. That was the second sutra. What's the name? Second sutra was Swatvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. In there, Parama Prema. Parama Prema means pure, intense love for Krishna. Or love for the soul or self-realization state. Swatvasmin Parama Prema Rupa. That was the second sutra. Now, here he says here, Sa na kamayamana nirodha rupatval. In other words, This love, what we talked about, is not kamayamana, kamayamana na bhavati. It is not a based of desires. Again, coming back to the same point. If there is some desires in the heart, there cannot be pure love. The love is not pure. That is the proof. If one has some desires inside, he cannot love Krishna pure. Pure love for Krishna cannot exist in that heart. So that's why I say, Sa na kamayamana. There is no desires inside for that love. But what is that? Nirodharupatvad. The love is based on Nirodharupatvam. Nirodharupatvam means that it is based on sacrifice to Krishna. For Krishna's sake, sacrificing everything. One's own body, one's own mind, one's own intelligence, one's own energy, everything to please Krishna. That is the nature of that love. It is not based on any desires. So, premam, kamam, two words, isn't it? So, that difference is talked about. So, premam, swatvasmin parama prema rupa, it said. Premam means continuous flow of the mind inward towards Krishna. Towards Krishna, or the soul inside. That is called premam. Kamam means continuous flow of the mind towards sense objects. That is kamam. So that's the difference between premam and kamam. Premam is the flow of love from the mind moving towards Krishna for self-realization through this process of bhakti, devotion or bhakti. That is premam. But when the same mind goes outward towards the world looking for sense enjoyment, it is kamam. It is kamam. Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavadam also, Vishayan Dhyayadas Chittam, Vishayeshu Vishajade, Mam Anusmaradas Chittam, Mayeva Pravilayade. Krishna says there, Vishayan Dhyayadas Chittam, Vishayeshu Vishajade. Very important verse in the Bhagavadam. All these are important verses. If understanding the process of self-realization, Krishna is saying that, Vishayan Dhyayadas Chittam, Vishayeshu Vishajade. If your mind is in contact with sense objects, sooner or later, it will be contaminated by the sense object. Dhyanam will start inside. Dhyanam will happen. This is the principle of advertisement also, isn't it? Vishayan dhyayata chittam vishayeshu vishajjare. That's what he's saying. What does that mean? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about that, isn't it? Dhyayado vishayapumsam. Sangas teshubha jayate. Sangal sanjayate kaman. Kamal krodhobi jayate. Krodhal bhavati samoha. Samohal smadhi vibrama. Smriti bramshal buddhinasho. Buddhinashal pranashari. These two verses in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has brought into one verse in the Bhagavadam. That is this verse. Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu vishajjade. Same message in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying here that as soon as your mind absorbs in dhyanam. Dhyanam means meditation. Not forcefully. I mentioned to you before also this. Dhyanam is not something that is forced upon you. It happens in a natural way. Meditation will come. In a natural way. Suppose, in your mind, several thoughts are centered around some particular object. Say you went to window shopping. And you saw something there in the showcase that has caught your attention. You started thinking about it, came back, looked in the internet to see about the different features of the product. It has not left you still. It's still there inside. Looked at the catalog and kept on meditating on that. Should I have it or not? See, by seeing that what happened, it sowed the seed inside to have it. Isn't it? So that's what Krishna is saying here. Every sense enjoyment in this world is like that. Not only sense enjoyment, even our relationship with people, it's all like that. As soon as there is a little, very little connection happens, then it will start growing inside. That is the nature of the mind. Vishaya, that is called dhyanam. Dhyanam means meditation. Starts at that point. Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu vishajade. As soon as you come into contact, chittam means your mind or consciousness is in contact with the any sense object. Dhyayadas chittam vishayam, any vishayam. Vishayam means sense object. Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu vishajade. It will become that at the end. It will transfer itself into that state. Vishayeshu vishajade. See, the word vishayam comes from the word visham. Visham is poison. So from Shastram point of view, it is poison. All sense objects are poisonous because it absorbs your mind in that. So vishayeshu vishajade. It gets absorbed in the sense object and gets completely dissolved in that. Similarly, Krishna says, Mam anusmaradas chittam ayeva praviliyade. In the same way, if your consciousness or subtle body or chittam is absorbed in Krishna. When Krishna says that, you have to also know that it is talking about self-realization. That means, as long as you are inquiry for the soul, the spiritual realization, if you are absorbed in that, what will happen? Eventually you will become the soul. You will become the soul. That's the only way it can happen. Ma manusmaradas chittam mayeva praviliyade. Not that we will go and dissolve in Krishna's body. That's not what it means. It says, in the spiritual position, as soon as we ma manusmaradas chittam, that if we keep on remember absorbed in the soul, spiritual matters related to spiritual life, Mayeva praviliyade. Krishna says you will become that. That is what the self-realization means. So here, it says here that in the process of self-realization, the desire for the soul is very much in everyone. But because the circumstances are not favorable, it does not happen. So gopis came to Krishna in a completely different mood, isn't it? They were not looking for self-realization at the time when they met Krishna first time. When they saw Krishna, first time gopis sees Krishna at the time Krishna's appearance. At that time in the Bhagavadam you will see the 6 days of celebration, isn't it? 5 days of Nandotsavam. Nanda Maharaj celebrating Krishna's appearance. All the gopis dressed up very well with plenty of presents goes to see Krishna. That's in the Bhagavadam, explain it in depth. In elaborate details, it says there. Isn't it? Gopya sumrashtamani kundala nishkakandya chitrambaraha padishikha chuda malya varshaha nandalayam suvalaya vrajadir virejur vyalola kundala payodhara hara shobhaha. Sri Shugan, normally Sudeva Goswami don't talk about others much. But when in this particular instance Sudeva Goswami says, I was not very curious to go and see Krishna. I was more interested in those people who are going to see Krishna. He says, sometimes it's like that on Janmashtami day. Instead of going into the temple room and seeing Krishna, if you look out, stand outside and watch everyone who is going to see Krishna, look at them and see their mood at that time. Different people have different things to say to Krishna. They may not be coming to temple every day. Sometimes maybe they happen to come once a year. Or once in a way they come and they may have a lot of things to say to Krishna. So this all will reflect in their mind, face. So many thoughts going through. So here, Sudeva Goswami says there that Gopya Sumrishta Manikundala Nishkakandhya. Gopis, when they came to know, Nanda Maharaj was the chief of the village, isn't it, Nandagaon. And Yashoda Devi, they were taken as the head of that particular society there. So gopis were going early hours in the morning, they were well dressed up. They were happy that Yashoda Devi had a baby. Yashoda, more or less it was decided that, known that Yashoda may not have a child anymore. She was almost 40 years old. And the chances of having a child was not there. So the it was at that time this happened. Krishna appeared, and gopis were happy for that Yashoda Devi had a child, because only they could understand Yashoda's situation. So they were all happy to take various presents. Yashoda Nanda Maharaj made the announcement that Krishna has appeared and everyone should come. Nanda Maharaj wants everyone to come and see the baby. So they are all queuing up in the morning to go and see Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj, and who made all the arrangements? Yashoda Devi was in the bed. She was not strong enough to do anything. Nanda Maharaj does not know how to receive all these people. So many people were coming. The whole Vrindavanam was there. All the Gokulam was there, completely there, to see the baby. And Nanda Maharaj had cowherd boys and other men with him. But how to organize everything? Balram's mother, Rohini Devi, did all the organization on that day. That's why in the Bhagavadam, it says there that Nanda Maharaj particularly appreciated Rohini Devi's help. And she was very good, apparently, in managing all these things. So, Nanda Gopa Abhinandida. Rohini, about Rohini, it is said like this. Nanda Gopa Abhinandida. That praised and glorified by Nanda Maharaj himself. Nanda Gopa Abhinandida. And so Rohini Devi organized everything, how everything, whole thing should happen. The visit of the gopis coming to Nanda Maharaj's home. So when they came there, that Gopya Samrishta Mani Kundala Nishkakandya Chitrambaraha Padishikha Achyuta Malya Varshaha. That gopis have put flowers on their hair. And Sudeva Goswami is discussing all these things in the Bhagavadam. Padishikha Achyuta Malya Varshaha. When they were coming in the queue, they were standing, and these flowers were falling off from the hair. And Nandalayam Suvalaya Vrajadir Virejur Vyalola Kundala Payodhara Hara Shobhaha. That when they were approaching Nanda Maharaj's house, Vrajadir Virejur Vyalola Kundalam, they had these earrings, and they were, their cheeks and everything were so blushing with happiness that it was reflecting the cheeks, they were reflecting earrings and things like that. There is a whole discussion about that in the Bhagavadam. Payodhara Harashobhaha. They were so beautiful to look at that time. And they all came to see Krishna. That day, the first vision of the gopis of Krishna started from that day. And from that day onwards, gopis wanted to see Krishna all the time. That first vision of Krishna, the first time. From that day onwards, gopis wanted to have a tremendous attachment built up inside towards Krishna. Krishna has come with this purpose only, that to get gopis to get attracted to that form of Krishna. When they got attracted, and then in the Bhagavadam you can read what all happened after that. Every day gopis used to come to see Yashoda Devi to take Krishna. They all want to carry Krishna. And one gopi will take Krishna, another gopi wanted to take Krishna from her hand. She says, I'm not going to give, he's looking at my face, she should stay with me. Like this, the mothers all the gopis together used to visit Nanda Maharaj every day. That we have to go through Bhagavadam. Only then you will relish that. When we come to 10th canto, we'll see. But that is a beautiful side of the 10th canto. So at that time, Krishna says there that the gopis attraction started on that day and that it continued. But gopis never knew that it is all going to end up in self-realization. This is the beauty of that. When they started the relationship, it was purely on a level like this. And then they got attracted to Krishna's different childhood pastimes. Bala Leela. It's mentioned in the Bhagavadam. So, there it says, and then gopis started thinking Krishna should come as her husband. Young girls, they were thinking that Krishna should come as her husband. And that is how they started all the Kartyayani Seva, isn't it? They started worshipping Sri Parvati, Kartyayani, and they performed their only penances in life. They have not performed much penances, gopis. Gopis didn't follow any other penances. The only penances what you see in the Bhagavadam is this one, what they have done, Kartyayani, saving Kartyayani. Kartyayani, Mahamaye, Mahayogini, Adishwari, Nandagopa Sudam Devi Padimme Kurude Nama. This is all they had to say. When Sri Parvati came, they said to her, Kartyayani Mahamaye Mahayogini. Mahayogini. She is Mahayogini. Mahayogini means what? She is Yogamaya. She can perform what she wants. If she wants to get something, then she can get it done. That is her potency. We are under her potency. That is why we are getting kicked here, there, everywhere. We don't know what to do. And it is her control on us, isn't it? She is in complete control. And if you read Lila Sahasranamam, it will say her potencies. Her potencies are unlimited. She controls everything, Maya Devi. So, Kartyayini, Mahamayi, Mahayogini. All these words in the Bhagavatam are taken from the different Upanishads or addressing her. Adhishwari, everything is under her control. Nothing is outside. There is nothing you can do anytime outside her control. That's how control she is and control is. We also control others, isn't it, to some extent. But there is her control much stronger than all that. We will control something in this world. Tomorrow, the person who is controlling, the person who gets control, both goes from here. Then there is no more control after that. But Sri Parvati's control is such that Vatyayani, Mahamayi, Mahayogini, Adishwari, only thing they pray to her, gopis pray to her, Nandagopa Sudam Devi, we want Krishna to come as our husband. Padime Kurude Nama, we pay our obeisances to you for that. When they prayed that, Sri Parvati that day spoke to Krishna. She says to him, there is a group of girls coming here and I can't do anything about them because it's not in my control. So Krishna says to her, what do they want? He says, this is their pradesh. Nandagopa Sudam Devi Padime Kurude Nama. You should come as their husband. Then Krishna says to Sri Parvati, okay, now leave that to me. It's me and them. You can stay out of it. And from that day onwards, then Krishna starts, isn't it? Then only all the other childhood pastimes continued. As dance and other things comes much later. So, to them, Krishna says at that point, Namaya veshita dhyam kama kamaya kalpare bharjita kodita dhana prayo bijaya nishyate. If someone's love, even if it is kamam, not premam, even if it is kamam, if it is directed towards Krishna, kamam kamaya kalpade, even if it is kamam which has gone towards Krishna, what will happen is, barjida kodidha dhana prayo bijaya nishyade. Even if he had any sensual desires inside, the seed of the desire, that's how it is said, bijaya nishyade. So many desires we have, isn't it? We fulfill those desires in this life, our material desires. But after fulfilling the desire, sometimes it never gets fulfilled. Still we want to have it more again. For example, somebody wants to make money in this world. He makes money. He made money. When he was 20, 25 years old, he puts a target. I will have, say, £1 million by the time I am 40 years or 50 years old. Somehow or the other, due to his good karmam or good prarabdham, he has got it. But then he is unable to stop it there. Then he changes the goalpost. He says, I had 1 million at that time, but now the money value has changed. So I have to change it again to 50 million or something like that. He changes the whole target at that time. This is the nature of desires, isn't it? Every desire is like that. That our very subtle desires in this world are like that. The subtle desires, it will never allow you to free yourself from that. It will keep on increasing and it will keep on wasting our lifetime, not knowing that one day all this will go. That realization, that will not grow. That will, on the other hand, it will be put behind, that idea. So, barjita kadhyardhana prayo bijaya nishyade. So, what does it mean? It means, although he had a target of £1 million before, why did that increase after he got £1 million? Because the seed has not gone from inside of the desire. Desire was fulfilled. He had only a desire to make £1 million. And he has reached that state. But why is he not able to stop that? Because the desire has not gone away from inside. The bijam, the seed of that desire is still there inside. It is like that everything else in this world. All other desires also has got a seed inside. And that seed doesn't go. Krishna says, if there is a seed of love towards me by anyone shows, eventually it will go away, it will go in such a direction that the end it says here, ഭർജിത കഥിതോ ധാന പ്രായോ ബീജായ നിഷ്യതേ. ഓൾ മെറ്റീരിയൽ ഡിസയേഴ്സ് വിൽ ഗോ വൺസ് ഫോർ ഓൾ ആൻഡ് വിൽ ഡെവലപ്ഡ് ഇൻ ടു പ്യുർ ലവ് ഫോർ കൃഷ്ണ. പ്യുർ ലവ് ഫോർ കൃഷ്ണ, ഇറ്റ് വിൽ ടേൺ ഇൻ ടു പ്യുർ ലവ് ഫോർ കൃഷ്ണ. ഹി സേസ് ഹിയർ ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്. So that is the difference. So namayya veshita dhiyam kama kamaya kalpade varjita kadita dhvana prayo bijaya neshyade. So not only that, when Krishna says that if such a relationship develops in a devotee's mind, in a devotee's mind, then even the seed gets burned inside. Just like the seed, normally the seed, not to sprout, you have to fry the seed. Once you fry the seed, it cannot sprout anymore. So the same thing, it cannot be used for sowing anywhere. It won't grow. So that is that Krishna says there. And in the Narada Maharshi says there, that sa na kamayamanam nirodha rupatval. After saying that, he goes on to the next sutram, verse sutram 8. He says there, Nirodhastu Loga Veda Vyabhara Nyasaha. That is the next sutram. Nirodhastu Loga Veda Vyabhara Nyasaha. So, that Nirodham, Nirodham means what? You will see this word Nirodham used in the Bhagavatam also. It says there, Atra Sargo Visargascha Sthanam Poshanam Utaya Manundaram Ishanukatha Nirodho Mukti Rashraya. So these 10 cantos of Bhagavatam, if you leave the first and second canto, the other 10 cantos in the Bhagavatam has been given these different titles. Third canto is Sargam, fourth is Visargam, fifth is Thanam, sixth is Poshanam, seventh is Uti. Sargam, Visargam, Sthanam, Poshanam, Uti. Seventh is Uti. Eighth is Manyundaram. Ninth is Ishanukatha. Tenth is Nirodham. 11th is Mukti. 12th is Ashrayam. This is the way Srimad Bhagavatam is structured. So, primary creation Sargam is the third canto. Secondary creation Visargam is the fourth canto. All these cantos are linked to each other. They are not independent. When people read Bhagavatam, they think, in the third canto it says like this, in 10th canto something else. No, it's not like that. They have a connection, a flow through these cantos that we have to notice very carefully. So, begins with primary creation, isn't it? Sargam. And from there comes secondary creation. Primary creation means the original creation of Mahatattvam, Ahangaram, Tanmatras, five material elements, all this is primary creation. And secondary creation and Brahma's creation, all primary creation. And secondary creation is our creation. We create with all what we have got, some other creation we start, isn't it? Our progeny, parambara, whatever we have created. So this is all secondary creation. So third canto and fourth canto, if you study carefully, you will notice, third canto is all primary creation. Brahma talks about how the creation happened and all that thing. In the fourth canto, what you find is a secondary creation. Daksha Prajapati onwards, all in the secondary creation, comes in the fourth canto. There you will see different sages marrying different daughters. Prajapati is coming. The different sages who are married to different daughters of Daksha Prajapati. And from them, their offsprings and their grandchildren and all what happened after that. All this Priyavrata, Uttanavada, their story, the king, two sons who came from Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa. So, and their family history. That's all in the fourth canon, which is all the secondary creation. So, Sargam, Visargam. Then, what is the fifth canto? In the fourth canto, this is very important. If you study the third canto, you will see everyone in the third canto is unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. Unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. In other words, they accepted the creation process and they were all Krishna conscious people. Brahmaji, Srinarada Maharshi. They are all, and the Prajapatis, they all lived their life in pure Krishna conscious way. In other words, they all followed the law of the creation, followed the law of creation. But as soon as he came to the fourth canto, what do you find there? Revolt started against the law. First one who? Daksha himself, Prajapati, but changes his mood, wanted to fight straight away. False ego has started building up. First thing he took was, took upon his own father-in-law. Again Shiva started, isn't it? Offended him so badly. Why? By then, Dasha Prajapati was already born into the bodily concept of life, just like Rahugana was. That is why you find that in the fourth canto, Visargam. In order to prove to us that in Krishna's creation, everybody is perfect. But when we start creation, everything goes wrong. Things start going wrong. And it started going wrong from then onwards. So, six chapters in the fourth canto is this Daksha story. Daksha has taken so offense again, Lord Shiva did not get up. For that, Daksha got so upset. Isn't it? You know that story in the Bhagavatam. And people start thinking, why is that? After all, Shiva could have got up. What is the harm? Some people ask like this. Some people say that why should Daksha take it so seriously? It is that Rajogunam inside the person. That's what it is indicating. That Lord Shiva says there later, he offers respects to everyone, but not that the way Daksha wanted that he should get up and offer. In his mind, he gave the respect to him. Because who is Lord Shiva? He says, Mahanaho Dveshti Shivam Shivedara. If one understands Lord Shiva's glory, you could never think in the way Daksha has spoken there. So what happened because of that? Everything went wrong. Isn't it? Eventually, Daksha ended up with a goat's head. Isn't it? The Bhagavatam, you know that story. It's difficult to go through the whole story, but just in brief, to understand this principle, Daksha ended up with a goat's body. She ended up with a goat's body. Then, sorry? Goat's head. So, Daksha-charitam or Daksha story is indicating the problem of in Visargam. Then we have got the story of Dhruva Maharaj, isn't it? Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva's case, what was the problem? Dhruva's case, you can see how Suruji behaved with Dhruva. And in the end, Suruji had to pay the price for it, isn't it? Although Suruji spoke to Dhruva so harsh, certain things, isn't it? Suniti and Suruji, two wives of Uttanabhada's wives, and Uttanabhada was very much loved, very loving towards Suruji and didn't care for Suniti. But as the name indicates, Suniti was a much more a devotee, and she was very advanced personality, although she was not so good looking. Suruji was very good looking, but character wise she was a little bit backwards. So that difference is pointed out there in that fourth canto. And then Dhruva Maharaj got offended. You all know that story, Dhruva's story, isn't it? Dhruva Maharaj got offended because he couldn't sit in Uttanabhada's lap, and he walks away. Narada Maharshi instructs him, and he engages in 6 months intense penances. Eventually Krishna appears. And at that time, that Kshatriya boy asks Krishna, the only desire is I want to have the whole planet under my control, everything, to rule. Krishna gives that benediction and sends him off. But at that time, Krishna also said to Dhruva that Suruji has offended you. Krishna could not bear that, what Suruji has spoken. It was a very heavy statement from Suruji. So therefore, Suruji had to pay a heavy price. What was that? He said that her son Uttama will go to the forest, fight with the Yakshas, and he will get killed. Looking for her, Suruji will also go, and she will get caught in the forest fire, and she will die. And these things were spoken to Dhruva in advance. But in spite of that, Dhruva couldn't do anything about it. It has to happen, it happened later. So you can see, when you go against Krishna, what will happen? That is Visargam. That is the fourth canto. So there the example is Daksha, and then there is Dhruva. Then there is the history of Prithu's story there. Isn't it? Prithu Maharaj's story. Where the king himself, Vena, what Vena did, that everybody likes Vena, isn't it? Vena's nature. At a young age itself, he will kill his friends. He enjoyed killing others. That was his happiness. Young boys, 5, 6 years old, he used to push them into the water, drown them and kill them, and watch it and enjoy it. That was very nature of the king. If you get a king like this, you can imagine what will be the kingdom will be then. So, it's a lot of discussion in that. So when a story in that Pratucharitam, when then Krishna had to come as Maharaj Prithu and change the whole, people were starving, they had no food to eat, Bhumi Devi withdrew everything, no potency in the Bhumi Devi, no food will come out from the Bhumi Devi, even if you plant the trees and sow the seeds, nothing was coming. So all that story in the Pratucharitam, then there is Puranjana story at the end, isn't it? Puranjana Vakhyanam, King Puranjana's story. So all these stories are spoken in that fourth canto to point out to us that without Krishna's presence, if you don't keep Krishna in the center, and if you carry on activities in this world, everything will end up in frustration. Somehow or the other, it will all be a failure. So after talking about all this in the fourth canto, in the Bhagavadam, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, those people who do not want to take Krishna's instructions seriously and want to act completely independent, you need a place for them to be kept under surveillance. And that is the story of the fifth canto. In the fifth canto, that is why this whole varnana of the all the Bhugolam started at that point. If you look at the question Parikshit has asked at that point to Sudev Goswami, he says there, then I will now talk to you about this creation, this Bhugola Varnana. Bhugola Varnana means starting from the whole thing, what Sugadeva Goswami is seeing in his mind. In his mind. What he is seeing, that is what he is describing there. See, this is why when we talk about, now we are going to make that planetarium, isn't it? In the Mayapur, they are trying to build the planetarium. What we have to know this much, that planetarium as Sukadeva Goswami is seeing there, that is what you are reading there. Now, after seeing that planetarium, if you start thinking, well, where do I find these things? If you start looking for that, you won't find it. It's not possible, because in creation, in different levels we are. Human level is one level. Demigods level is a higher level. Sages level are another level. So when Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, when Sudeva Goswami was describing the universe to the to Parikshit Maharaj, that is what he is seeing in that his level. His vision is different than our vision. We shouldn't think, oh, he has got eyes, I have got eyes, I am seeing and he should see the same thing. That won't happen. Same thing with demigods, their vision is different. They can see many things what we cannot see, isn't it? So we have to recognize this fact when we look at the planetarium. Otherwise it will all make no sense at all. After the planetarium, then we start firing the scientists. Oh, you people have not found out, we have found out something else, what you have not seen. There's no point in fighting with the scientists at that point. Scientists are like us in our level. They use the instruments and they use the naked eyes. They don't have that developed state of consciousness. So that's why I'm saying that when you look at the planetarium, and what they are trying to build now, and which they think is based on what Sudeva Goswami has explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is from what he is seeing from his state. When that's why that description is pretty far out, isn't it? If you read that, it's very difficult for us to come to terms with it. Many things in there, it can cause a little bit of many people. I can tell you, when Prabhupada's fifth canto was released, a lot of people left the movement. After the fifth canto, instead of bringing people, send people away from the Bhagavatam. Why? Because at that time, we are so conditioned within our mind. We don't understand Bhagavatam. We are thinking Bhagavatam is another book, that which I understood all the stories, it's fine, finished. No, Bhagavatam doesn't finish like that. In order to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, that especially this fifth canto particularly is very, very difficult. We don't have that vision like Sudeva Goswami had. Then you can say, oh, this old man sitting there in the forests in Himalayas, he's writing some stories down and trying to fool everyone in this world. You can take that route also. But if you see the knowledge what Sudeva Goswami has spoken, you can't take Sudeva Goswami in that way. We have to recognize, that's why we have to understand these personalities well before we start even reading what they have spoken, what they have talked to us. Otherwise, we'll completely misunderstand everything. When Fifth Canto was published, many devotees could not accept it. because they were completely under the control of the scientists. What scientists have said, scientists, they have done, they have understood Mars, they have understood many other planets, isn't it? And they went to the moon, and we are saying they have not gone to the moon. And they are saying that we have gone to the moon, we have got the photographs, we have got everything. And here he is saying, Bhagavatam saying, no, they have not gone to the moon. How will they accept it? So it was very difficult for many devotees at that time. They kept on and on and on about it. At the end, nothing happened. Many left and gone because of that. After the fifth canto was released. It was in 74 or 75, something like that. Yeah. So, this is where the difficulty is in spiritual life. That means searching for the truth is spiritual life, isn't it? We want to find out the truth. Now, when the realized souls are talking about things which we have not able to see with our naked eyes, we have to accept it that it is lack of our spiritual development, that we cannot understand what they are saying. So same way here also, coming back to this, so fifth canto is this. What is fifth canto saying to us? It is called, you know, the word they used is sthanam. Sthanam means the place, a place for everyone. Everyone. In the creation, there's a place for everybody. And that place is what we will get. We won't get anything different than that. For example, when you go against Krishna's will and act independently, not caring for anything, no authority, nothing, act completely independent, do what we like, and behave in a way which is against the principles of religion, such people also need a place. And that is that Naragaloka Varnana. That the sinful activities who perform, for them, their place is what is shown in that hellish planets. That's what is discussed in the fifth canto. So, sargam visargam sthanam poshanam. Sthanam. Sthanam is the one, their place. Everyone has a place for themselves in this creation. We have Martilogam, this earthly planet for us. And if we want to go to another planet, the process is that we have to qualify for that. That's the first thing. Traveling to other planets is not based on the mechanical arrangements that you can go to any other planet. For example, heavenly planets. How would you know where they are? We say it exists. It will remain as an unknown entity for us because till you get there, isn't it? And Shastram talks about that when you become a demigod, you can enter into heavenly planets. Or into the higher planets of the Maharlogam, Janalogam, Tapolokam, Satyalogam, including Brahma's planet, one can go to. But you have to qualify. That is the main thing. So, that is possible in this life, to qualify for moving into another planet. But mechanically, if you want to go to Satyalogam, Brahmalogam, Maharlogam and all, it's not possible. So, our conditioning is such that we believe that only through mechanical arrangement we can travel to other planets. So that's the main thing. So sthanam is that. Sthanam means your position, where you are. That's what your position is. To changing position means progressing from the spiritual life. Spiritually you have to progress. So having said that, there is a next canto, which is the sixth canto, which is titled as Poshanam. Poshanam means, in this world also, lot of people are enjoying and suffering. Isn't it? Lot of people are enjoying and suffering. But somebody who has lost all hope in this world, has Krishna completely written them off? At no point in time Krishna write off anybody, because it is Krishna's part and parcel we are. We have come from Krishna. There is no question of Krishna saying to us, look, I don't want anything to do with you. No, that will never happen. Under any circumstances, no matter how fallen one is, still he has hope. And that is Poshanam. That means, and to give that example, Krishna, there is two personalities. There is one personality there, Ajamila presented to us. In spite of the fact that he has fallen down to such conditions, in spite of that, even he has got hope. Krishna is willing to accept him. That is the story of Ajamila. That is in the sixth canto. That is called Poshanam. And Poshanam is the same quality, same mercy of Krishna that is discussed in the other episodes in the sixth canto. If you look into Vritrasura's story, fell down, became Ratrasura, still came back to Krishna at the end. So there is no point in time when we will be completely rejected by Krishna. That doesn't happen. All of us are completely under Krishna's shelter. Only thing is how quickly you can get back to Krishna. That is the most important thing. Having said that, question will come at that time. Portion Udi.
Yeah.
When one has fallen into different difficult situation, what actually is causing that? Why is he not able to escape from that situation? Bhagavatam wants to tell us that in spite of given all facilities in this world, still one does not utilize that opportunity for self-realization and escaping from this cycle of birth and death. He still gets affected and influenced by one thing. That is called karma vasana. Karma vasana, that's called uti. Uti means karma vasana. That means karma we keep on doing in this world, it will create vasana. Isn't it? Karma vasana will be created. And this vasana is in two kinds, sadvasana and durvasana. Auspicious one and inauspicious ones. So, 7th canto, through the history of Prahlada Maharaj, there is this message to us that Prahlada, born in a demoniac family, father was Hiranyakashipu, but among the devotees, he is the best among all the devotees. Imagine that. Father like this, but son can become the best of the devotees. Totally opposite. Totally opposite. To prove to us, nothing is against in advancing in spiritual life. That's the point making. Your parentage may be bad. All your material problems may be there. Everything in this world may be against you, but spiritual life is independent. Nothing can stop that. Ahaituki apradihada yenalma samprasidati, Bhagavatam says. From this point of view. That is why the connection, the 7th canto is this. That irrespective of the fact that Prahlada had everything against him, starting from his education, the education was given to him, such an education was offered to him. He had to accept that. In spite of that, Prahlada became the best among the devotees. And imagine that strength inside. Why? He had that association with Sri Narada Maharshi. That is the power of association, to prove to us that association is a powerful thing. And easiest to process. Krishna talks about that in the whole 12th chapter, in the canto 11. It's only about salsangam, salsangam, salsangam. He keeps talking. Talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna. Isn't it? Talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna. And so same thing here. So, sthanam, poshanam, udi. Udi means karma vasana. Karma vasana. That is what is discussed in the 7th canto. Then in the 8th canto, the question came, in what happened in different Manu's time? So Manundra Katha. Different Manus who ruled this planet till now, starting from Swayambhuva Manu, Sarojisham, Thomasam, the other Manus who are listed there, and what happened in each Manu, who were the sages, who are the Saptarishis, who are the demigods, who was Indra, who was, what was the appearance, Krishna, how did Krishna appear in each Manindra, all that is discussed in the 8th canto. Then, after talking about the 8th canto, the 9th canto talks about Ishanu Katha. Ishanu Katha means that the history of those personalities who followed the rules and who are really responsible people in this world, kings, particularly kings, who are very highly responsible people, but due to their self-realization, how they rejected everything at the end in life, went to the forest, engaged in spiritual life and went back to the spiritual world. It's their story. That is Ishanu Katha. Ishanu Katha is their story. That normally only great personality's name will come in the newspaper, isn't it? Same thing in the Bhagavadam also. Our names won't come in Bhagavadam or anything. Our names even won't come in the newspaper unless you get killed by a truck or a motorbike accident or something. We will be known all over the world, such and such a person died in the accident or taken to Watford General or finished there. That's how our name will come in the news. But normally whose name comes? David Cameron's, Tony Blair's, their names are every day in the paper in somewhere because they are in response to big positions or Obama or somebody like that. So big people, the rulers, or the big politicians, their names always will be in the newspaper. Same thing in Bhagavatam also. Only those who have reached that state, and they were big people, all those great personalities in the Bhagavatam, if you look in the ninth canto, some of them are such powerful personalities, the kind of things they could do is unbelievable. Go to the heavenly planets and fight the war there, helping Indra to fight the war. Dasharatha used to do that, isn't it? Ramchandra's father went to heavenly planets to fight the war. And similarly, Mujukunda, who was a powerful Kshatriya. All Kshatriya kings, it's their story. Because kings are always spoken about, isn't it? In them days, kings ruled. So, it's their history, but what was the good thing? All of them were very intelligent, in the sense that they played their game in this world very well. Engaged in all kinds of sense gratification. Their sense gratification, we can't even imagine that. They were so powerful. Their palaces, the standard of sense enjoyment, what they had, is beyond our imagination. And they lived their life like that. And at the end, they all came to their senses. Life is not meant for sense enjoyment. And engaged in spiritual life and went back to spiritual world. Such was their history. So that is the story of the ninth canto. That's why ninth canto is a very important canto in the Bhagavatam. For only for this reason, if you take the history of Ambarish Maharaj and also the story of Mandhadav, Mujukunda, then also Saurabha Maharshi, Saubhari, King Saubhari, and also you have the whole solar dynasty there, isn't it? All of them Yanis, self-realized souls at the end, from Ichago onwards, isn't it? Right? Aja, Dasharatha, Raghu, list of people, personalities there. Their names are mentioned there. And same thing with the solar lunar dynasty also, if you look there, right up to Krishna's time. Krishna came in the lunar dynasty, Ramchandra appeared in the solar dynasty. That's the only difference. And because Ramchandra appeared in the solar dynasty, the solar dynasty became famous. And because Krishna appeared in the lunar dynasty, the lunar dynasty became very famous. So, but if you look at all the ancestors of Krishna, Yadu, Pururavas, and from Pururavas it starts, the lunar dynasty. Pururavas was, in sense enjoyment, you couldn't compare him with anyone. He was in such a state of sense enjoyment. After seeing, and he won't associate with ordinary people, he was associating with Urvashi from the heavenly planets. Only Indra had any access to her. And this Urvashi, due to some curse she had from a sage, she had to come and spend some time in this world, and she decided to spend the time with Pururavas. And Pururavas spent so much time with her, eventually when she left him, he's crying. And he sings a song in the Bhagavatam known as Aila Gaitam, very famous song. And then he comes to realization, leaves the whole planet, goes to the forest, engages in austerities and penances, goes back to spiritual world. This is Pururavas. Famous king, isn't it? So like that, the history of all the kings, that is in the ninth canto. Then we have got the tenth canto. When it comes to tenth canto, the title given to tenth canto is called Nirodham. The same word what we are discussing here. It says here that the, if you look into that, yeah. Nirodhastu loga veda vyabharanyasaha. Nirodham. What does Nirodham mean? Nirodham means that continuous flow of thoughts inside is what is causing us the problem, isn't it? The mind, which is supposed to absorb in Krishna, is unable to do so. Why? Constant flow of chittavritti. Chittavritti means constant flow of thoughts inside. That is called chittavritti. So this chittavritti cannot be stopped. That's what Krishna is saying there. You can stop everything else in this world, but to stop your mind from thinking and to keep under control is very difficult. Durjayana maham mana, Krishna says. Of all the things, most difficult thing to control is the mind. And that mind, how to stop the function of the mind, that is called Nirodham. Mano Nirodham it's called, controlling the mind. How to bring the mind under control. And that is what 10th canto is. 10th canto is that, how to get this mind under control. Spiritual life is nothing but getting this mind under control, isn't it? All other things will happen naturally. So here, it says here, Nirodhastu Loga Veda Vyapara Nyasaha. So, when that Nirodham happens, when that Nirodham means the stop, block of this Chittam happens, all material and spiritual activities is completely offered to Krishna. Everything becomes as a service to Krishna. The same thing is spoken, Nirodhastu Loga Veda Vyapara Nyasaha. In one short line, they have put it like that, but it is nothing but Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma is this, not different than that, isn't it? If you remember, in the Ekadasha Skandam, when Navayogi Samvadam, Nimi Navayogi discussions, there, it mentions there, Kavi Maharshi says there, Kayena Vaja Manasendriyarva Buddhyatmanava Prakrade Subhaval Karodi Yadyat Sagalam Parasmai Narayanayedi Samarpayami. That's the same thing this line is talking about. That means whatever we do with our body, with our mind, with our intelligence, everything, if it is offered to Krishna, it becomes Nirodham. It becomes Nirodhastu, what it says here, Nirodhastu Loga Veda Vyabara Nyasaha. Nyasa means to give up. Everything surrender to Krishna. That is Nirodham. Nirodhastu Loga Veda Vyabara Nyasaha. Logam means this world, whatever we are engaged activities in this world. Veda means all the Vedic rules and regulations, or the rituals related with the Vedas, or Vedic way of life, in other words. All that, all our activities in this world, if it is all offered to Krishna, that is called Nirodha. Nirodhastu Loga Veda Vyapara Nyasaha. For the sake of Krishna offering everything. In other words, what it means is, offering to Krishna means, if you come to spiritual life and if you are searching intensely for self-realization, that is what it is. Realizing the truth, that truth is something different than this body, different than this world, different than this all this society, is something different than all these things. Recognizing that and pursuing for that truth intensely inside is called Nirodham. Then you are in the state of Nirodham. So in other words, spiritual life is that life where you have completely withdrawn from the world outside, completely withdrawn from all the rules and regulations also. And then another term for the same thing is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means that. Bhagavata Dharma means that our material activities are all finished. Everything is Krishna satisfaction. To such an extent, when one can rise up to that platform, then it is Bhagavata Dharma. Otherwise, it's not Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means not other things. What we interpret is not Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma means what Krishna is saying. Krishna's definition is like that. Nirodhastu Loga Veda Vyapara Nyasaha. It says everything you have to give up. No more interest anymore. The only interest what you have is self-realization, to realize the truth. I am not this body, you have come to understand, but I have not realized it yet. When you realize that and pursuing that route very intensely, Krishna says that it becomes Nirodham. Naturally, you will reject all these things, all the other things of this world. So that's why it says here that Nyasam. So in that case, whatever activities we perform, it is only for Krishna's pleasure then. Nothing is for your pleasure. There is no ahangaram there anymore. Jiva ahanda, or Jiva's false ego and Jiva's false interests also doesn't exist. Whole life is for Krishna's pleasure. Everything for Krishna's satisfaction. Anything what you do is to please Krishna. In that way, when the life turns out, that is the what is spoken here. That is the Loga Vyavaram. All the Loga Vyavaram or Vaidya Vyavaram Nyasaha, all offered to Krishna's pleasure. Then it becomes that state. Pravrtanja Nivrtanja Dividam Karma Vaidigam Avarteda Pravrtena Nivrtena Ashnude Amritam. In the 7th canto, when you look into Bhagavatam, you will see in the 15th chapter, there is Sadajara Narnayam. Sadajara means, what Brahmachari, how should he live? Grahastha, how should he live? Vanaprastha, how should he live? And Sannyasi, how should he live? These four category, Varnam, four ashramam, how they should live in this world, and how the four Varnam should live in this world. So Yudhishthira Maharaj asked this question to Srinarada Maharshi after the Rajasuyam sacrifice. And there, after the Rajasuyam sacrifice, Srinarada Maharshi spoke about in depth, in five chapters, the whole seventh canto is only referring to Sadachara Nirnayam. If you read that five chapters, you will have a fairly good understanding of what Vedic way of life means. It doesn't exist today. It doesn't exist today. But what Vedic way of life means, you will understand if you read that five chapters in the seventh canto. So it is there that, when talking about that, he says here, Pravartanja Nivartanja Dividam Karma Vaidikam. It says there, Vaidika Karmam are two kinds. One is for Pravartam and one is for Nivarti. Pravarti and Nivarti, which you all know what it means, isn't it? Pravarti means that you are engaged in activities of this world which are likely to entangle you with this world. Only for the happiness of this world you are executing those activities. Nivarti means eventually you are trying to escape from this cycle of birth and death. All those karma related with that is Nivarti. So, Pravartanja Nivartanja, both are karma vaidikam. In both, it is under the framework of Vedas. Why? Because if you are not in the framework of Vedas, you will go and do some vikarmam somewhere. This is the reason. So that you stay in the discipline. Even if it is pravarta karmam, still it must be under the discipline of Vedam. Discipline of Vedic injunctions. This is what Bhagavadam is saying. Even if one is living in this world, he has to engage in activities, it should be under the framework of Vedas. That is pravarta karma. Nivarta karma means one who is advancing in the path of spiritual life, everything is surrendered to Krishna for his own self-realization, he is working in this world. With the object of, with the goal of self-realization, he is conducting his life in this world. That is nivarta karma. Now, Bhagavata dharma has karma has come from this dharma. This dharma is called Varnashrama dharma. Then Vaidika karma can only function if there is Varnashrama dharma. When Varnashrama dharma fails, it all fails. Vaidika karma cannot function. Therefore, this alternative was given, what is known as Bhagavata dharma. In Bhagavata dharma, Varnashrama is not important. Surrender is more important. Surrendering to Krishna is more important. So that is why it said, Avartena Purvartena Nurate Ashnude Amritam. So, Pravarta Dharmam or Pravarti, Pravartam Cha Nivartam Cha. Pravarta Dharmam creates one problem. It creates, you have to take another birth again. You don't get, because there is no goal of liberation there. You see, in Pravarta Karmam there is no goal of liberation. In Nivarta Karmam the goal is how to escape from this cycle of birth and death. So there's a chance of escaping from that. Nivrittam karmas. So keeping that in mind, if you look into Ekadasha Skandam, as soon as Krishna started talking to Uddhava, what did Krishna say to him? Nivrittam karmase veda pravrittam malparatyajel jityasayam sam pravrto nadriyel karmachodhanam. You see, karmam ultimately is not something going to help us very much. Karmam cannot liberate you. Jnanam can liberate you, bhakti can liberate you. Karmam cannot liberate you. Jnanam can liberate a person. That's why Krishna says to Uddhava at the last minute, he says here, Nivrittam karma seveda, pravrittam alparatyajel, jinyasayo sampravarte nadriyel karma chodhanam. It's a very important statement. We discussed this in the 7th chapter of the 11th canto. It is in the 7th chapter. Nivrittam karma seveda. It's an important point Krishna is making to Uddhava. Uddhava, you have done so much karma in this life. But at least now you come to the point, Nivrittam karma seveda. Pravrittam alparatyajel. Whatever karma you are doing in this world now, it should be only for Nivritti. Only for escaping from here. For liberation purposes. But if you have to do any pravrti in this world, Malparatyajet, for my sake, give up that. Or do it for me, in other words. If you have to do anything. So, this is the state of the realized souls. They have no more attachment to the results, attachment to the ownership of the karma, anything. Nivrittam karma seveda pravrittam malparatyajet. For my sake, give up all attachment to all kinds of karma, he says. Karma should not come on the way. Then, jinyasayam sampravrto. Jinyasayam sampravrto means that jinyasa or inquisitiveness to free yourself from this pravrti should be there. To how to free yourself from that. That must be very strong inside. Uddhava, unlike Arjuna, was not a stage in life where he had to perform karma anymore, isn't it? He was as old as Krishna was 125 years old. Uddhava was also very close to that age. So there is no question of Uddhava going back and start doing, engaging in karmam again. Karmam is finished for him. So he says here, jinyasayam sampravurte nadriyed karma chodanam. Even if there is some provocation from inside to absorb in karmam, you should withdraw from that. Nadriyed. Even if it's there, chodana. Chodana means provocation from inside or some tendency from inside to engage in karmam, pull back from that. Krishna says to Uddhava like this. So you can see that at the time of death or even prior to death, we can't keep giving importance to all the karmam in this world. This karmam in this world is only a stepping stone if it is to be utilized for going towards jnanam or going towards bhakti. If it's not going simply, some people have this misunderstanding, whole life I engage in karma, I am a karma yogi, they say. People will say like that, I am engaged in karma yoga. Or most of the people misunderstand also that they will read Bhagavad Gita and they'll come with the statement, I am a karma yogi, they will say like that. And whole day he is busy making money. And he will use Krishna's Bhagavad Gita to justify it, saying that he is a karma yogi. This is what the society eventually misunderstands, how Bhagavad Gita is misunderstood. And they will preach that also to others. You become a karma yogi like me. Morning to night, this only thing he is doing, making money. And then he is saying that I am a karma yogi. Tell me, oh, I am not attached to any result. Only thing is the salary must come on the end of the month. So it's a different thing altogether, that Krishna is not condemning karmam, because Krishna is saying karmam must become to karma yogam, which eventually, when becomes karma yogam, chitta shuddhi happens. When chitta shuddhi happens, the knowledge will come inside of the soul, and the knowledge comes, eventually it develops into bhakti, which is love for Krishna. So it all happens gradually. It won't happen overnight. That's the main thing. That's why karmam is a part of our life. You can't escape from karmam. It's there. We have come here because we have karmam to do here. That's why we have been all thrown at different places, in different environments, because we have been thrown to do this karmam. You can't escape from it. It's there already. Karma vasana is there and karma must be executed. But how to change that pattern of karmam and develop that chitta shuddhi from that, that is more important. All sadhana is meant for that, to purify inside. And karmam is also, karma shuddhi it is called, purification happens, isn't it? So, after saying that, pravurtancha nivurtancha dividam karma vaidikam, avarteda pravurtena nivurte ashnude amrutam. Then says, nivurtam karma seveda, pravurtam alparatya jel, jityasayam sampravurto nadriyel karma chodhanam. That kamya karmam or activities which are related with desires, they should be given up, Krishna says. Then once you are come to the platform of the soul and you are completely absorbed in that, you have no obligations to anyone in this world, in any circumstances. That you don't have to even follow the rules and regulations if you are in that stage. And that is what Krishna is saying to Uddhava at that time. And also he says here, how long one has to pursue that further. All that we'll discuss next Saturday. And we'll go through Narada Bhakti Sutram, will take some time because it is something related to the Srimad Bhagavatam also. When we are going through this, if you keep on reading Ekadashi Skandam also, you will see the things what is spoken in the Ekadasham and Narada Bhakti Sutram is not much different. It is the whole science of bhakti. Bhakti is not something cheap. Bhakti is a very precious thing. And prior to reaching that pure state of bhakti, there is a long way to go for that. So, we'll have a short kirtan. I think it's 4:30, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Rama Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Om Glory Shri Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Shri Prabhupada.